Council to order. Please stand for the national anthem. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest? Councilor Melosh?
I'm declaring conflict. Declaring conflict on 10.1 as my brother is part of the emergency fire services.
And is there any other disclosure of pecuniary interest? Okay, seeing none, that brings us to item 4, the minutes of the previous meetings. Councilor Fry?
I'll move the minutes 4.1 to 4.3 be adopted.
Second, Councilor Melosh, any corrections or questions? Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm concerned with the motion that was passed at that meeting, and perhaps I was sleeping or didn't pay close enough attention, but when I reviewed it, it's the resolution that administration be directed to contact Aboriginal Affairs and Northern Development Ontario Region to discuss the beautification of Wyandot Cemetery and Engstrom Park in collaboration with the town. And did we give fees for that? Like, did we budget that or state what we were going to pay for the beautification of the park? Because I don't recall that at all.
Through your worship, I think the direction was just to contact them to investigate, and then if there is a beautification, that would have to come back to council for their approval.
Okay. If the letter has been sent out, I just don't want them to get the opinion that we're designating funds for that without council's say in it.
Well, those funds are not budgeted for presently, so they would have to come back to council to get an allocation or be dealt through the Parks Committee, something like that.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, all those in favor? Carried. And that brings us to 6.1, the interim tax levy bylaw. Councilor Melosh?
Move the recommendation.
Second, Councilor Fryer. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Oops. 6.2. Councilor Melosh?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move the recommendation. I'd like to speak to it.
And second, Councilor Puget. Back to Councilor Melosh.
Thank you. I guess I get concerned about a study for an extension. I guess the first question I would have to the treasurer is that how much money have we forfeited or potentially forfeited since 2014 when we enacted the bylaw?
Through you to the councillor. To my understanding, there has been very little residential development that has actually taken place. The way the DC study is designed, it forecasts over a period how much development charges would actually come in through that type of development. However, in actuality, we have seen very little commercial development take place in the town. So that's why we are asking for a study to explore that from an economic development standpoint.
I guess if we're not getting a lot of money in that area, yet we need to encourage, you know, that development in that sector, I can't see why we'd spend money to do a study to determine that we want to give them an extension. I guess where I'm going.
Through you, Mayor, that study would be done in-house. We have the, we can do that study. It's not going toward a consultant. As you can see, the Act actually lays out a number of things that have to be in that study, and we can do that in-house. Again, it comes down to, the council did enact this before, and it does act as an incentive, obviously, and it does, developers will look at other locales as well. So what we're asking really, or looking to do, is to embark on the process, and that would, council then would have the requisite information in front of them after that conclusion, in terms of whether to go forward or not.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. And that brings us to down to 8.1. Yes, Councillor Fryer.
I move the recommendation as presented to us.
Second, Councillor Levine. Any questions? Councillor Pugin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Regarding number four, all landscaping be placed on a 2-year maintenance period commencing the September 14th, 2017. Do we have the bylaw in place that that they would turn over the money for us to plant those trees? I don't think that's ever been really specified.
Go ahead, Shane.
Sorry, Shane, I guess. Through you, Mr. Mayor, to Shane.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, all of the trees and all the landscaping has already been planted out around the pond right now. The maintenance period, right now, is a 2-year period. So following the 1-year period, what we do is bring in the landscaper that actually plants them, along with consulting engineer being Stantec and ourselves. We review and decide whether or not we want to keep them on for another year, or if they're, you know, doing what they should be doing after a year's period, then we can take them off of the maintenance period.
My question really, and I'm sorry, I wasn't clear enough. We had problems with that area where the developer was planting it, and in one case he hadn't planted a tree in 12 years. So council wanted to revert back to where you collect the money from the landscaper and the town actually plants and maintains its trees. Is that what happened in this case, or was that based on a previous agreement?
Through you, Worship, to Councilor Pouget. This is dealing with the pond. What we've been talking about is tree planting for individual lots for homeowners. So this would not be subject to what we're trying to do with regards to tree planting and the town taking over the tree planting in front of residential homes.
So.
And that's on our agenda to complete.
Yes. I do understand that. But what my question is, sometimes when they're supposed to be planting the trees around the ponds, they put in these little tiny specimens, and it isn't quite up to what the town had originally requested.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, in terms of the what trees and what landscape was planted around through the ponds, it was all done through the Stantec as the consultant firm, as well as this professional landscaping company. And all that was provided in a very comprehensive plan. All the species that have been planted were all verified according to the plan that went through the Public Works Department prior to the actual construction of the pond and any of the plantings taking place.
Councilor Fryer?
Mr. Mayor, through you to Shane. Shane, the maintenance periods of 1 year, 2 year, the ponds being so close to the creek and infiltrated with phragmites, what will we do to try and prevent? Because right now we're lucky enough that they haven't set up shop in there. So what are we going to do to help prevent that from overtaking that pond? If we're going to wait, we start seeing them and it's gonna be a 2-year lag, will we do something prior to that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I think with the issue with frag in the pond, in order to stay on top of it, one of the things that we can do for something like a pond would be to go through and cut it if we can get at it. Normally, the spraying is something that you really, according to the MOE's protocol, something we really only can do in, under dry conditions. So since we are dealing with a pond where one cell of it will always be wet, it's going to be quite difficult for us to go in and spray. But, you know, cutting, depending on the on how, you know, invasive it gets into the pond, might be an option of something that we can do. But in that area right there, I'd be surprised to see it really come up in that pond, because it is kind of far enough removed from you know, from the river and from the neighboring drains that hopefully we can stay on top of it by cutting it.
Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Brings us to 8.2, the roster for engineering services. Councilor Melange?
Move the recommendation.
And second? Councilor Puget, any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Councilor Pryor?
The next 8.3, I'll approve as presented, and I speak on it afterwards.
And second, Councilor Puget, back to Councilor Pryor.
Say hallelujah, but finally, after asking so many times, and you know, this is before us to get the LED program going for the town of Emmitsburg. It's fantastic. Thank you for working on it. And then item four is one that I'm really appreciative of. Administration's put this in here is to highlight for the public is to put street lights in probably one of the most dangerous sections, I feel, on going into Windsor, is from Rent Marina Bridge to Malden Road. Finally, that's gonna be lit up for the residents down there that have to get their mail, clear the side. It's just a very dark area at certain periods of the year, and I'm glad administration is finally allowing those residents to have a continuation from Emmitsburg all the way to Windsor now. We'll have lights all the way through. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Councilor Melange?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have no problem with the LED lighting other than administration has put a proposal here that says $1.18 million. Yet I look at the 2018 budget and it showed the total project cost for LED lighting at $450,000. And then somehow the LED lighting program gets slid in, being the County Road 20 lighting program, which is outside of the LED program. We're trying to pass, what I, in my eyes, two different proposals here, two different proposals or projects, all under one 8.3 LED lighting. And I think those two, first of all, should be split up. So the issue of even the County Road 20, it said in the budget $230,000. Well, the 230 plus the 450 still doesn't get even close to $1.1 million. So I guess, first of all, I need some explanation as to how we come up with all this money. And secondly of all, the County Road 20 project was not even approved for 2018 capital budget. It was listed, but it wasn't one of the approved projects.
Through your worship, to Councilor Melange. With regards to the County Road 20 project, if the direction basically says to issue an RFP, request for proposal.
I'm sorry?
The resolution says to issue an RFP.
Yeah.
And we haven't awarded anything on that. So basically what we're doing is we're fact-finding to see what it would cost us to do that stretch of road. And the premise of the entire LED program is it's a self-funding program. So we are taking savings that we've received, what we're projecting as a result of the LED program, and using that to pay the capital expenditure, which I think it's very clearly laid out in the report. If you go, Councillor Melange, to page 4 of 6 of the report, administration's done a detailed analysis of what we believe the savings will be, by converting to LED. Recognizing that the capital budget does have a $450,000 budget for 2018, we have allocated here future budgets, that being 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, all self-contained within a current expenditure that the town is making, that being we're taking operating dollars to pay for our capital expenditure. So it's a cost-saving exercise that what we show, beginning in 2024, we will have an additional $116,000, growing to $318,000 the following year, growing to $522,000 the following the year after that, and $731,000 by 2027. So our position is that because we have been able to generate these savings by switching to LED, we want to explore the ability to do lighting on County Road 20. It'll be a decision of council at a future date to make that, to accept that or not, but we confidently believe that the operational savings that we're going to have in this LED program will self-fund the LED program.
Further, I mean, I go by the capital budget because that's what we voted on.
Mm-hmm.
Capital budget said engineering, LED street lighting, $450, of which you put $400,000 as a net cost, and then some subsidy of $50,000, and then you put $50,000 in the subsequent years. That doesn't, when I look at total capital requirements, you're saying $450,000, which you told me back in November that you needed, but you're telling me really it's a 1.1 now.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Originally, when we considered the LED program, we were looking at only doing the Cobra Heads, and which is the standard street lights. And that's where the $450,000 estimate came from. When we started to prepare the RFP, we realized that as a town that has a, with the CAF funding, we have a lot of decorative lights. Actually, we're almost 50-50, which is very odd for a town of our size. So we included the LED, we included the decoratives as part of the LED as a provisional light to see what that would come back at, to see if that was a reasonable thing to consider. When the pricing came back and we ran the numbers, we saw that in approximately 7 years we could pay that back, and those lights would be still under warranty 100% and paid and fully paid for at that point. And everything within the town would be switched to LED, which is obviously more energy efficient, cost effective. That's why the budget itself went from the 450 to the 1.18. It certainly wasn't budgeted. When after the numbers came back in as a provisional, I spoke to Justin to try and find a way to make that happen, because I thought that from the town's perspective, it's a win-win. We're both being energy conscious and we're being able to pay this back and in a 7 year point, start to, you know, save money as it is. So that's why the budgeting is different from what it was. You're right, the $50,000 was originally how we planned to subsidize that for those number of years, but this is a plan that we came up with that we thought was that maximized the results.
I understand what you're saying is that November I get November I get 450, February the 12th I get $1,000,001. That's a short time frame here that all of a sudden the numbers change drastically. And when you say the town, is it the whole of the town? Is it River Canard, Malden, the whole town?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, every light in town that is in the right of way. So the one thing that we haven't considered in this is parks. But when we do go to work with the lighting component, we'll speak to we'll see what we have for parks and look at those as well. But with respect to this, this is every light that's in the right of way. So lights in River Canard, the lights that are currently from Ranta Marina to the town limits, the lights that are in Front Road South, all the lights within the town right of ways.
One last point to the treasurer. So we're looking at financing to the tune of about $200,000 a year between 2019 and 2024. 2024 or something? Am I saying that number right? I'm just going off the top of my head now, the numbers.
Yeah, 2024.
So.
Correct. Basically, we're just doing a budget reallocation. We spend this money now on utilities and streetlight maintenance. All we are doing is making this investment to do cost avoidance and taking the amount that we currently budget and reallocating it back to repay capital expenditures. So there is really no additional pressures put on the mill rate from this plan. It is strictly a budget reallocation. As of right now, we budget $315,000 annually for streetlights, $190,000 in utilities, $50,000 for this program, and $75,000 in maintenance. And this this financing plan would basically achieve payback or cost avoidance in a period of 5.5 to 6 years. So.
So you're saying the payback is 5.5 to 6 years?
It's as outlined in the report. I'm sorry.
Sorry,
give me a second.
I don't know the numbers.
Give me a second, Councillor. Sorry about that.
It's 5.5 years.
5.5 years. So it's a pretty good return on investment, and it deals with, as Todd outlined, every streetlight in the municipality. When we came with the budget, as Todd indicated, we came with a plan to deal with half of the streetlights in the municipality being the Cobra heads. When we got the pricing back on the RFP, it made sense to take this opportunity to get a good return on investment and maximize our work for the residents of Amherst.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, I studied this report, and it is an excellent report, and thank you, Todd, for that. And I really do want to thank Councillor Pryor for pursuing this initiative and for administration for all your hard work. And as Todd said, it's a win-win situation. At the same time, we're providing safety for our residents, and we're providing them a cost savings too. And I understand where Councillor Melosh is coming from, but they're requesting an RFP. And if the RFP comes back too high, or we feel that we don't want it at that time, we can reject it. It is just a request to issue this RFP. So I'm going to support the motion.
Any other questions or comments? Councillor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to reiterate Councilor Pryor said, the thank you. I think I was a supporter on that motion. Of the lighting from Ranta right through to the LaSalle Town Line. That road, I traveled it at night when it's raining and you can't see the lines and you're trying to look, gauge where the churn is going to be. It's a liability. It's a wonder that there haven't been more accidents at that intersection. And so I'm just very happy that we're going to get this done. We are going to get it done, right? Is this what we're waiting for the RFP for? Oh, shoot. Okay. I don't like RFPs.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Brings us to 8.4 on the supplementary agenda, the snow removal and salting agreement for Lake Erie Country Club. Councilor Pryor?
Concur with the recommendation from administration.
Second, Councilor Cluje. Questions? Councilor Melange?
I have a question Mr. Galvin, we already talked about the word remove in the agreement, and removing concerns me.
Microphone.
Sorry, remove concerns me in that it's a broad state word, as you agree, because all of a sudden we get 3 feet of snow, we're bringing in trucks and payloaders to remove, as opposed to pushing the snow to the side of the road. So I think we need to address the word remove, as you agreed, in terms of being more clearly at defining the service.
Through you, Mayor. Yeah, we can take a look at tighten that language, certainly. And obviously, there's also a clause in there that speaks to our median standards. So we can dovetail those together and put that concern to rest.
Councilor Pryor?
Through through you to mark the road allowance between from the highway to the Lake Erie Country Club. Is that still municipal or is that their own road? Going from the highway all the way back in, there's an actual spot where it goes over creek area that feeds into Halsey Beach. So is that road now town maintained or is it still maintained by the Lake Erie Country Club?
If I understand correctly through you, Mr. Mayor, there's a map attached, that entire road from the county road to Lakeside Drive. That is a private road. We're not suggesting that the town takes that any part of that road. They just approached us to do the snow removal. Since we do Lakeside Drive already, we basically drive over Lake Erie Country Club, do Lakeside Drive. So we're in the area, we just put the plow down and go. So that's why they requested that we take that on. But the road itself is still a private road.
So that's my concern, is that area there always seems there's not really a hard surface. It's still gravel, and in the wintertime it still gets pushed away. So I'm wondering, the concern I have is of us taking over that road eventually to bring it to a standard, because we're going to be using our equipment going back and forth over top of that drain, and we've had to replace that area quite a few times over the years. So I'm just more cautious, I guess, in making administration aware that that drain in between there, that roadway, does wash away over time. So I don't know what our plans are for the future of taking over that road. So.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that road last summer was a gravel road, and Lake Erie Country Club paid to have it tar and chipped. So it is a tar and chip road, and that's actually another reason we recommended that we take that. If it was a gravel road, it would be very difficult to take on that service. But as of last summer, it is now a tar and chip road at their expense, so it will be an easy service to provide.
Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. And that brings us to 8.5 on the supplementary agenda. Councilor Pryor?
I'll move the recommendation.
Second, Councilor Puja, back to Councilor Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Administration. Again, another great aspect for Amherstburg with getting people out, commuter cycling, putting bike lanes in roads. I think we were way behind the eight ball compared to LaSalle and other neighboring communities, but I think over the past 4 or 5 years, we've spent a lot of money and a lot of time getting bicycle lanes put in. And I appreciate that. We're looking at the connections now, where we're going from the roads we've already done, and now doing Alma Street prior to Malosh, that'll allow people from different subdivisions to be able to get to the Libro Center on a bike path. So I'm really appreciative of that. Just to keep in the back of, I think, administration's mind too, is there's a route under the cyclist terminology. It's the swamp route. They call it that, but it's coming down from LaSalle, down the fourth concession, then they come up Creek Road. So great, we're doing Creek Road. The issue is they take the second concession back to LaSalle. So the second concession is still an issue. So they're having to jog back over to the third, and the third is nice right now, but you know, eventually they'd like to see us, when we do the bridge, I think council needs to look at possibly getting in the funding for doing the second concession between Middleside Road and the bridge at Long Marsh Drain to do that road too as well. So that'll close a loop for cyclists coming into our area that stop at, in the summertime, they stop at our Downtown Expresso and other places to get drinks and then head back.
Councilor Puja?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I seconded it for discussion purposes through you to Todd. Todd, number 2B, the installation of a bike lane along Coney Road 20 from Dalhousie Street to Front Road South. Could you be more specific about that? I just couldn't find a map to show us exactly where that is.
Certainly, through you, Mr. Mayor. Through our CMOTS plan, say ducks on the roof is probably the easiest way to describe it. It has a lane on one side, which is not really the recommended way to do bikes, because if you're riding southerly, then you don't really have a bike lane. You have to ride on the shoulder. So the idea behind that recommendation is to have a bike lane on the water side, I guess, for lack of a better term. It's a project that is on the CWOT's agenda. It's a long-term project. It's not something that was even short or medium-term in the CWOT's agenda. But with respect to where we're at with CWOT's and this funding source, the Municipal Ontario Municipal Commuter Cycling Funding, it had to adhere to a approved plan, either active transportation or bikes. The one that we are in, obviously, is the CWOT's plan with the county. And these two projects that we identified are the two projects that we have remaining that we contribute funding to at CWOT's. So once these two projects are done, from a CWOT's perspective, for our funding, we're all done. I mean, I think there'll be more projects. I think CWOT's is going to go through another rebirth in the next year or so, as people really buy into active transportation. But from the perspective of the projects that we could propose for this, those were the essentially the only two that we had funding that we needed to contribute to.
Councilor Melange.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Russo, I guess you can answer this question. From what I gather, the Alma Street is $487,000. The County Road 20 is $520,000 for a total of almost $1 million, which is $987,000. We are going to recover, the max we can recover is 40% to be $395,000. So at the end of the day, when we take the $395,000 and the $97,000, we're still going to be left picking up a tab for about $500,000 to do these bike lanes. Is that correct?
Your math is correct, but that's not the essence of the report. The report is basically that we will receive a max of $97,259.51.
Mm-hmm.
What the report is asking us to do is enter into the agreement and then go back and figure out how we can RFP, these are our estimates, and bring one or two projects that fit within the scope and bring that back for council approval. At this point, we're just entering into the agreement to make a commitment to do work on the CWOT's program on one of these two projects. What the size and scope or amount of sections is still to be determined, and future budget commitments would have to be made.
But it says the town included two projects in the application.
That's
so
correct.
So you are, in fact, considering both, okay, for $200 million.
I'll let elaborate further.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The way the funding was set up is it allowed you to submit as many projects as you chose. So I'm sure, I know that the county submitted, as their part of this, they submitted 25 projects.
Yeah.
There was no limit on how many you chose to submit, then you can choose as to which ones you want to pursue. The 97,000 is the 2018 allocation. It's likely the way it's described that that'll be a continued funding year by year. You're allowed to carry it over. What this does is it allows us to collect that money and put it in a bank account. And actually, the way it's written is you have to have a separate bank account specifically for these funds. If by the end of 2020 you have not spent those funds for whatever reason, they are to be returned, and that's it. So from a perspective of the projects, we listed the two projects that we could do. We didn't know how much money we were going to get. It could have been anywhere from $25,000 to the whole 80%. So it made sense for us to list both projects. Now that we have the fundings that we know, now we go and see what we can do and come back with that commitment. The other part of that, the 40%, is CWOT's. And that's not guaranteed either. We have to go to the CWOT's committee and ask for that money. Now, the representatives that sit on County Council know that County Council is very accepting to CWOT's and went over and above their budget last year on the CWOT's projects to fund some fund the projects of other municipalities. I don't foresee that to be a problem, but we always have to remember that 40% has to be requested by the county as well.
Thanks. One more. And as a biker, I'm glad to see bike lanes. My biggest problem though is we have areas that are still in desperate need of sidewalks, let alone bike lanes. 67 homes in the Canard, you know, Valley area and Gardner subdivision that can't even walk to our own park. Well, I'd have to walk down the side of a county road, and a busy county road, to get to our own park. And so, you know, we applaud, or I applaud, you know, the CWAS, but we also have to consider the other side. There's still the element of risk of these people walking down the side. They're walking, not biking, okay? Or they may bike as well, too, if they're gonna get the park. But our people can't get to our own parks. That's all I'll say.
Any other questions or comments? Council Fuji?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm a biker, too, but it's a two-wheel bike that I'm biking. But anyway, further to what Councilor Malage is stating, are we addressing the issue that, you know, that these people can't walk to their parks because they don't have sidewalks? Is that on the agenda at one, you know, for further budget deliberations?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, Councilor Fuji. It is in the capital budget. It was in last year. The section that Councilor Malage, I believe, is referring to is essentially on County Road 10 from Walker to the Urca Trail, I think, is really what we were looking at. We put in an item last year in the capital budget for that sidewalk. It's a fairly expensive sidewalk because of the location, and there's a lot of hydro poles and utilities in that area. But we certainly have it in the capital budget. We'll continue to bring it for consideration, and it's a hard comparison to CWATS because CWATS is adopted. That area is a county road. To get bike lanes or such on there would have to be through the county and fully funded by the county, and they only do so much per year. The sidewalk would be fully our cost. And again, we'll have it in the capital budget and consider it on a year-to-year basis.
Councilor Malage?
Todd, you don't say sidewalks are expensive. Heck, pave it, call it a bike lane, and people walk down it. I think we get hung up on the physical structure as opposed to the means. You know, whether it's asphalt or, you know, that you can walk on or bike on, it's a pathway that's more safe and secure. That's all I'm going to say.
Councilor Fryer?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I thank the council for bringing it up. I think we've heard a lot from that area, McGregor. They do want, we just recently, as the county, put in the new road there, and they're hoping for multi-use trails on both sides of the County Road 10. So I'm glad Councilor Malage is still bringing that up, and I think it needs to be brought up in the county too, when our representatives are there, that needs to be a connectivity to the Urca Trail that's been put in that area. That way it gets people off of the gravel and onto, you know, a safe pathway, even for them to walk in that area. It's eventually, Todd, you did say, you know, it's the CWATS initiative, it's the CWATS, you know, committee, but I think that's a major area that needs attention, so.
Excuse me, Your Worship, but I think what we need to focus back on the reason for the report. The reason for this report was that we were successful in obtaining grant monies from this program, the Community Recycle Program, basically $97,259.51. What we are saying with this report is we want to sign an agreement, and what we're also saying is that in the future, Council is going to consider these two projects. I can appreciate Council's frustration that we need sidewalks in one location and things in another location, but quite honestly, this was the criteria that we had to make a grant proposal for, and we were successful. And the issue is, does Council want to have or enter into an agreement for $97,000 of free money and consider this at a future point in time? We're not committing to anything here, folks. We're just committing to taking this money and putting it in the bank for at least 2 years.
I just want more.
I wouldn't give you more.
We apply. Councilor Malage?
One last comment. I've dealt with the government for a long time, too. There is no free money with the government. So, I mean, I think we got to make that clear, is that they wave money at you, but you know what, 25%, you got to come up with the other 75%, which is typically debt. So I guess I caution the word free. I guess the use
all due respect, Counselor Milosh, you have, are the ultimate decision-making body. You get to decide if you're going to do this or not.
I understand.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carry. Brings us to 9.1, the request for dedicated parking spaces. Counselor Milosh?
Move the recommendation.
Second? Counselor Pujay, questions or comments? Counselor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I read the recommendation, and part three, a downtown core parking study with funding to be allocated in future year budget after the completion of the development of the former W Lands be supported. I was looking at the different areas and the time limits, and it seems in the downtown core, maybe our park, Dalhousie, Lair, everything is 2 hours. And I find that unreasonable. If you get a family, I don't want to signal one restaurant, but there are several restaurants in that area. You take your family out for dinner, nice dinner, at least an hour. You go out for ice cream afterwards. You take a walk through the Navy Yard Park. You can't do that. Your car is there for 2 hours. You got to get out. And I think we're not giving enough time. My wish would be that we have no time limit from May till the end of August. We have people coming to town all the time, want to walk up and down the streets, want to go into the shops, want to buy things, want to stop for an espresso, and always have to be watching their watches, okay, to make sure that they don't go beyond the 2 hour limit. And I'm wondering, is that possible to remove that 2 hour limit for that tourist time?
Through you, Mayor, anything is possible. I think what it comes down to is trying to find the right mix, and I mentioned this before to council, short-term versus long-term. Generally speaking, in the downtown cores, the complaints are that there are people parked there all day, and you want to have people come in and do their business and leave. I think you're raising an excellent point, which is why we put this recommendation and phrase it as such, because that will change the character of the downtown. And that's the time, and I wouldn't suggest that we have to necessarily wait, but I think we can move on that sort of study or micro study before it's completed, because I think we're going to look at having some areas where there are longer term. But finding the right mix of short term versus long term is something municipalities have struggled with everywhere. And the reason is you really can't make everyone happy. If you get complaints that people are parked there all day, for businesses, you'll get complaints the other way saying that you want people to be able to park longer. So finding that mix is hard. I can tell you that the 2 hour is pretty standard for downtown cores. I have seen 4 hour, but I can't say that I've seen it too often. So I think you're raising a good point. I just think that's why we looked at this number three as finding that mix and that balance, because we know that there's things happening in Amherstburg that's going to change the character of the downtown and the environs around it. And I think that's the right time to look at that and say, what's the mix we want? Bring it to council and say, this is what the mix is telling us, that percentage mix of short-term and long-term.
Thank you. Through you to Mark. But Mark, what do we do when we have groups that come into town? Okay, we have the Mardi Gras, we have the cars go crazy. Those people can't just park there for 2 hours. They're going to want to stay and watch the proceedings and what's going on. So how do we handle that?
Through you, Mayor Carlo, in the traffic bylaw that the town does have, we have a provision that we can bag signs in those instances, and that's how we facilitate that type of parking for those larger events.
Councilor Fryer?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No disrespect to Stefano and Chad, but the problem I have with this motion is I can't see myself approving this, because if we have two people come before us that want parking spots, then we're gonna have the next person, and by the time we get done with the downtown, that parking lot's gonna be full. So the 2 hour I'm okay with, but to provide for one business is really, doesn't sit well, because other businesses are gonna come to us, and then how do we stop that approval process? Especially, I heard from a few businesses today, that don't wanna be named, it's convenience over what's available. So behind the Heritage Plaza, there's a lot of parking, but it's more convenient to park in that parking spot, or municipal parking lot for the balance of their shift, because it's closer to them. We're not that far away. From the downtown core to that Heritage, there's not much of a walk. If you go anywhere else, in any other cities, you're walking a longer distance. So that's the only thing I have really, it doesn't sit well with me, is I can't designate two spots, because I'm gonna have the next business, and the next one, and the next one. One's gonna want four, one's gonna want eight. We're gonna have to put a parking garage there in order to satisfy all the needs of everyone downtown.
Can I get a motion to hear Council Pryor? And second, Council Kujie, all those in favor? Carry.
At the last meeting that we had, we said that we were basically gonna deny that and not go that road, because after the fact, we thought about it, that what makes the difference that the other businesses that are, why favor us in the fact that we're moving there and designating a spot? So under my understanding was that the last council meeting that we had, that we decided to scratch that idea and then just look at making that lot strictly a 2-hour lot rather than an all day lot, and not doing the designated part. So we didn't want to go with just the designating ourselves, and that was the last that I understood when we had left. We were waiting for this meeting to see if we could change that from an all day lot to the 2-hour lot, because of the issue where it at 8 o'clock in the morning when we're doing renovations, those cars stay there for till 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night till the business is closed, and there's no turnover of that parking lot at all. Yet the parking lot across that we talked about is wide open, so it's a matter of convenience. You're right that the people that are actually working in the businesses are parking there, not allowing the people that are using the services of the companies and the small businesses down there to actually utilize that. And we've been running there for about a month now, so we kind of been keeping an eye on what the parking lot's doing, and it is staying pretty full. Most people use the street parking quite a bit, but with the snow and stuff like that, some of those lots along the street, there's too much snow there that they can't. So I don't know what the solution is as far as it, but we weren't looking at doing the private lots.
Nicole, did you?
Just to clarify, at the October 23rd, 2017 council meeting, the request for the designated parking spaces was denied by council, and we were to bring back, administration was directed to bring back this report with a recommendation for that Ramsey and Richmond lot. So that's where we came to the 2-hour parking limit.
Councilor, do you have a follow-up?
Just to follow, thank you for that. The major issue downtown is the people that park there all day, 4 or 5 days, 6 days in a row, without moving their vehicles at all. And that's the issue that administration, council needs to wrap our heads around. How do we move those cars that have been sitting there for days upon days? I think going to the 2-hour is going to satisfy that. I just hope the bylaw is going to be strict enough that we will be able to tow.
Councillor Melancho is next.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have one issue with respect to item 3, talking about a study being done on completion of the development. I would hope that we would do the parking study before we finish the development, in the sense that we hit the ground running when it opens, okay? Not that we're doing a study after it's open and we're having a parking problem. So we address it beforehand, as I guess is all I would rather see a change made, that instead of after, to be before completion.
Yes, through you, Mayor, I think that's a good suggestion, concurrent with the development. I think is what we were planning anyway to do. There'll be a right time to do that when we get to a certain degree of that development being completed, and we can certainly do that.
Councilor Kujie?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to point out to Council that nowhere in this report does it even state that we were considering on giving anybody a the extra parking spots. And today, if I could direct my question to, through you, Mr. Mayor, to Nicole. Today, we had some correspondence regarding some concerns about the two-hour parking. And I understand that as a result of that, you did call them, and they were worried because they have been advised they couldn't park in heritage parking spaces. Could you please tell council the result of your conversation?
Yes, through you, Mayor Gerlo. Today, I was contacted by a couple downtown businesses. So the heritage parking lot is half-owned privately. The east side of that parking lot is town-owned. We own approximately 16 to 20 spots in that lot. So that is available for parking all day. So that was clarified. I can contact the owner of the Heritage Plaza as well and just explain that again.
Councillor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't know if I do it through you or through Nicole, but another concern I have is for our merchants and parking for them. I know some of them come parking behind their buildings, and but things like the banks, okay, you have 2 hours on the street, but that's for the customers. Where do the bank employees park? Where do employees in the downtown core park? They would have to leave their car there all day. Where do they go?
Cool.
Through you, Mayor DeCarlo. For the past 9 years that I've been here, this downtown parking has been a topic of conversation. A couple years we did try a strategy where we mailed a map of parking to all the downtown businesses, showing and demonstrating which parking spots had restricted periods and what were available all day. There is a lot of parking with no time limits on the streets just outside of the downtown area that we feel the business employees should utilize, keeping the downtown parking spots for their customers. We could try that strategy again.
So any other questions or comments? Okay, just so I'm clear, if we put a 2 hour on this, there is parking across the street for the people that were using it all day anyway, right?
There is.
Okay. Okay, motion on the floor. All those in favor and opposed? Okay, carry. And that brings us to 9.2, the user fee bylaw amendment. Councillor Lange?
Move the recommendation.
And second, Councillor Levine. Questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carry. Just to the traffic policy, 10.3. Councillor Lange?
Move the recommendation.
And second, Councillor Fryer. Any questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carry. And brings us to the Queen Charlotte Storm Sewer Easement. Councillor Fryer?
I'll move the recommendation as presented.
Second, Councillor Melosh. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carry. 9.5, removal of part lot control. Councillor Fryer?
I'll move the recommendation as presented before us.
Second, Councillor Levine. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carry. 10.1. Request to waive user fees, and I will need an approved or denied on this one. Councillor Bouget?
Move for the receipt of the recommendation and that the waiving of the user fees as requested in the PNC memo be denied.
And second, Councillor Courtney. Any questions or comments? Councillor Bouget?
Yes, I just want council to pay close attention to the risk analysis on page 130. Waiving fees results in lost revenue and may have an adverse effect to the general taxpayer. So in other words, if you know, we reward the people that disobey the laws and just keep waiving the fees, we're hurting the regular taxpayer as a result of it, so.
Any other questions or comments? Councilor Courtney?
To follow up what Councilor Bouche said, this has been a pet peeve of mine. We've had this bylaw in place for how long? Pay user fees. We instituted it, okay, as a way of increasing money that we can use in the town. Repeatedly, we have waived those user fees over and over and over again. Where does it stop? I know somebody on this side who got to waive their fees is going to say, yay. And the person, the line is drawn, and the other person says, well, he got to waive his fees. How come we don't get to waive ours? We have to put the line somewhere. And we have to go back, I think, to our initial.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Councilor Melange? That brings us to 10.2, the 2018 Tinker Pumper and Rescue Pumper tender results. Councilor Fryer?
I'll move the recommendation.
Second. Councilor Melange? Any questions or comments? Councilor Bouche?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I noticed that the 1995 Spartan Bob Lowe truck will be going to Bob Lowe. And has it been decided where it will be kept on Bob Lowe? Like, will it be protected in a building or where will it go?
Chief?
From you to our chief.
Thank you, Councillor, for the question through you, Your Worship. No determination is made. The purpose for mentioning it in this report is to ensure that we don't dispose of it.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. That brings us to 10.3, license of occupation agreement for Parks Canada. Councilor Melange?
Move the recommendation.
And second, Councilor Courtney? Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. And that brings us to 11, information reports. Councilor Levine?
Move to receive the reports.
Second. Councilor Melange? All those in favor of receiving? Carried. And is there any items? Councilor Bouche?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Regarding number 11.3, the building department activity, I'm not even sure who's here to address it. Oh, okay. Thank you. And I just want to commend them for their hard work because according to this report, you brought in $54 million worth of, and that's very, very impressive. And it must have been very busy.
Any other items anybody would like to comment on? Okay, seeing none.
I do.
Oh, sorry, Councilor Bouche.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Today I called the police chief because he couldn't be here tonight. And I brought up some concerns that I had regarding his report. Number 11.5, monthly activity report. And I asked him why there were 460 fewer charges in regarding traffic charges in 2017 rather than 2016. And 18 fewer parking tickets issued. I was wondering if our people just started having better behavioral driving or whatever. And, you know, it's kind of a concern to hear that the drop in service was caused because, I believe, it was because one person was short, so therefore they have to take them off traffic. So that was a concern. And also I have a concern with number 11.7, the January 16th, 2018 to February 6th, 2018 accounts payable. I brought this to his attention again. It concerns a legal fees, $27,000, and we have no, nothing to explain to our residents why we're paying $27,000 this month in legal fees to the Amherstburg Police Association and $27,000 last month to the Amherstburg Police Association. And if council looks, you know, each and every time we have legal fees, it'll say, for example, McTague Law Firm, it'll be broken down. Council receives a PC memo, we know exactly what it's for. And the public knows basically what it's for. And in this case, you know, I just can't buy the fact that we can't get more information, even if it's just to the legal fees, who the legal fees, what the legal department name is even. We can't get that out. So we said that we, you know, it's, the report is supposed to be based on this motion. The accounts payable list will be presented to council and the public for information at each meeting to continue with open and transparent government operations. And I just cannot buy the fact that it just says, like, since when can an Amherstburg Police Association request money from us?
Through your worship, it is part of the private confidential memo that was provided to council. There is an Amherstburg Police Service memo that's been provided in that with regards to minutes of settlement. I can't disclose what the minutes of settlement are, but there is a memo provided to council for their consideration on the accounts payable.
Council Pleasure?
I'm not denying that. What I'm saying is that in all the other cases when we have legal fees, it will tell us who the, if, for example, McTague Law Firm, and then it'll have the breakdown of the legal fees underneath it. If, Jonathan, could you scroll down a bit till we can come to that, please? The scene right there. McTague Law Firm, legal fees. And if you go down, you'll see it, the breakdown over and over again. There it just says, where does it say in the Municipal Act that we can pay the Amherstburg Police Association this amount of money?
Go ahead.
The Municipal Act actually allows us to pass the budget. The Police Act governs the police budgets. Council has the authority to deny or approve the police budget. The police budget is completely under the mandate of the police board. That's the law of Ontario. And our police budget is line for line included in here for council to look at before it's approved every month.
For you, Mr. Mayor, if I may provide some further clarification. In the instance that you're looking at here highlighted with for McTague Law Firm, that invoice was paid directly to McTague, so that's why it provides that information. The association payment was provided directly to the association, and that's the same information that was being provided with the legal fees. We're getting the same information. The reason we can't provide you with any additional information is because we are bound by the Municipal Freedom of Information Protection and Privacy Act to keep personal information confidential.
Councilor Courtney?
I just want to say I don't like it. I don't like the way that operates. I agree completely with Councilor Boucher, and there should be a way that somehow ratepayers can know why there was $27,000 paid to the Amherstburg Police Association. You're saying that it's against the law, but I don't know. I think they have a right to know.
Okay, any other items anybody would like to address? Councilor Brent?
Just on the accessibility committee and what they've done this year, just to highlight, site plans, parking, lights, with the Emmitsburg Police Department collaboration. They did the second annual blitz on accessible parking spots, building audits. The committee goes through all the town's buildings and they do an audit for accessibility and needs. Breakdown time advertisements, accessible upgrades. The two that are highlighted are sidewalk extension from Low Side Road to Seasons Retirement. And the second one, which was very successful, and thank you to a resident for bringing this up again, and finally this committee getting it put in through council's approval, the installation of handrails at Rink A at the Libro Center, and they're very much appreciated by many people that use them. The accessible workshop, Open Doors and Open Minds, the committee does attend that as well. So moving, this committee is one that I sit on, and I just wanted to highlight the work that they do is very important to the committee or to the community moving forward when we're going to be in a position where we're going to have to abide by accessible locations and needs of people moving forward. So,
thank you. Any other items? Okay, that brings us to 12, consent correspondence. Councilor Pryor?
Move items 12.1 to 12.8 be received.
And second, Councilor Levine. All those in favor of receipt? Yeah. I'm going to come back to them. All those in favor of receipt, carried. And then back to Councilor Courtney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Under 12.2, I was wondering if there's any way that we could help sponsor this event, whether it be the purchase of two tickets or two people who might like to attend. I know the tickets are quite pricey, they're $100 each, but it's for a very, very good cause. And I would like to see Emmitsburg kind of be a part of this in some way. Is that possible?
If you would like to make a motion in that respect, sure.
Okay. Okay, I would like to make a motion that three tickets be designated for the event that's going to be held by the Bell River Knights of Columbus as a fundraising dinner for Ronald McDonald House. If someone wants to attend, they may. If not, we will request the tickets and send the proceeds.
Is there a second? Councilor Pryor? Any questions? Okay, all those in favor? Carried. Any other, Councilor Melosh?
12.1, I've been following this, the Explore the Shore, as they are trying to promote, the County Road 20 route, which, we are at the beginning or the end, whatever, which way you want to look at it. I like to think the beginning. And I was just wondering, is there a possible way that the tourist department can look at this, as whether it's an initiative that's consistent with, the tourism of Emmitsburg, and whether or not it makes sense for us to, put donate $1,000 to the program. So, I guess there's nobody here from tourism, but I would think, maybe if we can look at that, if there's a possibility that it sort of fits within our program, and maybe we can mark on that as an added benefit to Emmitsburg.
Your Worship, I can definitely speak to Ann and look into it.
So do we need a motion of some sort, or that if you embark on it, you're just going to put, if it makes sense, you can just run it through a budget, so it doesn't need our approval?
That is correct.
All right, okay. Thank you.
Any other items? Okay, that brings us to 13.1, that the clerk has an update.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's come to our attention on this item that additional information regarding this request has surfaced, and administration will be bringing a report back to council for consideration at a later date. This item will not be considered today.
And so that brings us to consent other minutes, 14.1, Councilor Pryor.
I'll move receipt.
Second, Councilor Milosh. Any questions? Okay, all those in favor? Carried. Unfinished business items. Councilor Pouche.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm asking this through you, Mr. Mayor, to Antoinette. I know, Antoinette, you've been overwhelmed with snow complaints, and you're doing a great job. But at our January 8th and January 22nd meeting, we discussed the rumble strips and when it would get back to us, and we understood that that was supposed to be coming in January. Could you give us an update on it? Because we're still getting complaints.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that report had been written, and it was going through the approvals. There was a concern in the report and the recommendations that might bring liability to the town, so it was recommended that we seek the opinion of a traffic engineer. I've contacted a traffic engineer, and we will be just getting clarification on that and getting some further information before that report is dropped. We just wanted to make sure that everything was covered before recommending something to council.
Any other, Councilor Pouche?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I bring this up all the time about unfinished business. And I know we received a report that it was going to change, but we're still back there. All of a sudden it started to get the councilor's names and the seconder and in a time frame of when we expected it to be completed, and now it just stopped again. And all of a sudden, now it says resolution number something or other. Administration be directed to review the four questions discussed in camera regarding the debacle, OMB hearing, and forward the appropriate answers to council for release to interested constituents. That's important to the members of our public. They're always looking at unfinished business, new business. And now they have no idea who made the motion. It helps us as councilors too to do our follow-ups on it, to see, ask administration, when is this coming forward? And, it goes back to it for 2 weeks. They do put the names of the councilors. So I'm just asking if I could make a motion on it to
sure.
have it.
Is there a second on that? That is to ensure that the format of the unfinished business. Oh, sorry, you have
it?
I have it.
Oh. If I can read it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The motion is to direct administration to revert back to reporting unfinished business, as was done in 2016, addressing the names of the mover and seconder, the date of the motion, the entire content of the motion, and an approximate date for the completion of the motion.
Okay, is there a second? Councilor Pryor, any questions? Okay, all those in favor? Carried. Any other unfinished business? Okay, is there any new business? Councilor Milosh?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's a popular subject matter. The policing, and it has to do with our next meeting. Is administration, in light of the last meeting that we had here, we were busting at the seams here, are we looking at another venue to hold the people that are willing, that want to attend the next meeting?
Through your worship, Councilman Walsh, administration is not looking for a new venue. That would be council's direction if they wanted that. We hold meetings here in council chambers, and that's the regular home for council meetings.
I'd be prepared to make a motion that we look into an alternative site to give all of the residents that are interested in attending proper audio visual, within one room. And I'm not sure, I know the last meeting we had the Rebro. A couple hundred people or something. I think it would be better than this facility here in terms of having people in the
see administration consider an alternative site.
Through your worship, to Council Walsh, it's council's decision to consider another site. Administration will follow through on council's decision.
I said I'll make a motion.
I believe the Libra was really the only other location we have, if that's the motion you want to make.
Yes.
Okay, is there a second? Council Levine, and questions, discussion? Council Pujic?
Please correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't council already receive an invite for that, and it was specified that it was going to be held in our council chambers?
I believe so.
There's already an invite for it.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, invitations to council as well as, as well as the Rivertown Times calendar has been advertising the meeting here in council chambers.
Any other questions or comments? Council Pryor?
Sir, I understand the concern, but I think there's, I think the direction the administration is to provide audio, and if we have to, maybe video to the other rooms if we need to, but this is where decisions are made in council here, and it's much easier for council to control. If it does get out of hand, it's easier, in my opinion, for the mayor to control the meeting if need be. Libra's going to be very hard to do that, and that's just my own opinion. And I'd rather see us do business where we're supposed to be doing businesses right here. If we're looking at going to the Libra, I think in the future, if you want to, maybe spend the money and then set that as a new venue. But you could fit quite a few people still here. And with the first meeting we had, there wasn't anybody that was lined out the doors to come in.
Council Milosh?
In view of the deadline for the Rivertown Times, I guess I'll just remove my motion.
Okay. In that case, is there any other new business? Council Pryor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If council could support inviting the consortium that takes care of the busing announcements for inclement weather or cancellations. Presently, we're getting the cancellations as parents, as grandparents, or caregivers at 6:20 in the morning. And it's become a running joke on a few, or at least one radio station in the morning. Are they going to cancel them or are they not? So I think when you look at what happened last Friday, Wednesday, when we had that really bad weather, and I made a call to the radio station, and just so happens that day we had four buses that went into the ditch, with three of them with students on them, and one that was involved in another accident. So I think myself, many people I spoke to at work, out in the community, they all want to know, what's the criteria moving forward? What happens with that? And I think that consortium needs to come before us in council, so that way, publicly, everyone will know what it is moving forward. And the reason why I'm asking that is, it changed from the one storm where they didn't, to the Friday, all of a sudden, 5:22 on the website that shows if the buses are running or not, they showed that they weren't. That was the first time since my kids have been going to school that they reported out prior to 6:20. 6:20 is starting to cause a lot of havoc with people. If the buses get canceled, how do they get them to school? People are still trying to get to work. So what do I do with my kids? I have to make another stop. The weather's not good. How do I do that? So the problem is, I think everyone in the community needs to find out, what do we do, or what's the criteria? What do these 21 spotters do, and how are they trained, and how are we going to better get an understanding of this moving forward?
If I could just summarize that motion then. direction for administration to invite the people who make these decisions for a presentation for council.
Yes.
Second, Councilor Courtney. Okay, is there a second? Councilor Pujic, and then Councilor Courtney.
Thank you. As a former school trustee, I can give you a little clarification on how it works. designated people in all quadrants of the county at approximately, maybe earlier than 6:20, there's a call that will go in to see what the weather is like in all those different areas. Where the trouble lies is that out in the Leamington area, you may have dense fog. In the Emmitsburg area, everything is fine. What do? Cancel the buses or keep the buses running? So if you cancel the buses, the people that are not having bad weather, that are not having fog, are up in arms. Why did you cancel the buses? There was no reason to cancel the buses. Whereas the people in Leamington that are having the fog, you had to, for safety's sake. So it makes it very hard for those spotters that are making those decisions and whether the buses will run, whether they won't run. There might be a prediction of freezing rain coming for the afternoon, okay, which would make going home treacherous. Do you cancel the buses in the morning because you might have freezing rain in the afternoon? It's a very difficult call to make, and that's how it's done right now.
Councilor Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you to the councilor. The only issue is we have a larger city to the west of us. They canceled the school buses the night before, knowing that the weather was going to be bad at rush hour. We had Eastern Ontario schools boards cancel the buses before the storm even got there in the morning, knowing what it was going to be like to drive the kids home at night. The problem I have is you make the decision for the safety of the children on the bus and the drivers, because the drivers are being mandated to drive the buses. And if they don't, then there's somebody there that can take that job and move on. So you're putting people at risk. So I understand that, yeah, there's a risk with doing this, but what's the criteria moving forward? If it is foggy in one area, then it's a decision that needs to be made for everyone, not just for one group or the other group. You know, there's parents out there that would have to rush around at 6:20 to find out school buses aren't running today. If you let them know earlier, the night before, they can make arrangements. That's the stress that the parents have all told me that they have. So I'd like them to come. What's the criteria? Because all of a sudden, on Friday, it was 5:22, somebody went out way before 5 o'clock to make that decision then. And every other day it was 6:20.
Councilor Levine?
Thank you. I'm not on the school board. I'm on town council, and that's not in my jurisdiction. I don't feel like bringing them here to reprimand them or justify how they do their business isn't our mandate. If we would be more comfortable getting a report, I would be comfortable with that, but I don't feel pulling them here for an inquisition is in our best interest or theirs. I'm sure that the school board, if they decide to start criticizing this council's decisions and asking us to show up and justify them in front of their school board all the time, we might have an issue with that too.
Councilor Bluegreen?
I do support the Councilor Fryer's motion. I understand where Councilor Levine is coming from, but safety is our concern, our paramount concern, and no one's going to be chastising them or ridiculing them. We just want to know if there's a better way that they can inform the public in a quicker fashion and all the time trying to keep our residents safe. And I think it's just a normal request. They can either agree to come or they don't have to, but I think it's polite and I think it's something that our residents expect us to do.
Councilor
Melosh? There's a couple issues here. Is you know, and Councilor Fryer, you know, mentioned it. We cancel the buses, and then there's 20 kids on the bus, but 10 of those parents get on the road and drive their kids to school anyway, and so now you have 20 vehicles on the road instead of one. There's a no-win situation here, okay? And if somebody were to call me most of the mornings and ask me, is it okay to drive? I live on the best clean road in the county. Walker Road is one of the finest clean roads in the county. And I look out my window and say, geez, the roads are nice. Let's get the buses rolling. So, I, you know, I,
hear what Counselor, Courtney said, and you know, the quadrants, and it's a subjective call, I guess, at some point. I agree with Counselor LeBing, it's not our decision here.
Okay, if there's no one else, I'll finish with Counselor Fryer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think, listening to the comments, we do represent ratepayers, just like the school board does, and those ratepayers are asking the questions, and council should provide them with answers.
Okay, so, on the motion to, invite, those people here, all in favor? And opposed? Motion fails. New business, any other new business? Okay, that brings us to, there's no notices of motion, correct? Bylaws, 19.1, 19.2. Counselor Milosh?
Sorry, recommend that the bylaw 2018-11 being a bylaw to amend zoning bylaw 1999-52 for 3794 concessions 3 North be taken as having been read 3 times and finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same.
Second, Counselor Pouget, all those in favor? Carried. 19.2. Counselor LeBing?
The recommendation.
Thank you. Second. Counselor Milosh, all those in favor? Carried. That brings us to the in-camera. Counselor Pouget?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That Counselor LeBing to an in-camera meeting of council directly following regular session pursuant to section 239 of the Municipal Act 2001 as amended for the following reason. Item A, closure of portion of Sherbert Street west side of George Street, section 239 2C, a proposed or pending acquisition or disposition of land by the municipality.
Thank you. Second, Counselor LeBing, all those in favor? Carried, we will go in camera. Motion to resume. Counselor Pouget, Counselor LeBing.
Of Sherbert Street West, side of George Street, for intersection 239-2C. As a result of that discussion, the following motion is before council for consideration. That a portion of Sherbrooke Street, located on the west side of George Street, described legally as part of Sherbrooke Street, Registry Plan 1, Town of Amherstburg, and more particularly as parts 1 to 4 inclusive, Plan 12R-27273, be stopped up and closed. Part of Sherbrooke Street, Registry Plan 1, Town of Amherstburg, and more particularly as parts 1 to 4 inclusive, Plan 12R-27273, be declared surplus. Parts 1 and 2, Plan 12R-27273, being a 3,799 square foot parcel of to be closed Sherbrooke Street, be conveyed to Judith Louise Carter and Anne Margaret Bertel, the owners of 274 George Street, which abuts the north limit of Sherbrooke Street, for the sum of $21,050 plus HST if applicable. The administration be authorized to enter into an encroachment agreement with Wayne and Susan Bergeron, owners of 284 George Street, which abuts the south limit of Sherbrooke Street, for parts 3 and 4, Plan 12R-27273, being a 3,799 square foot parcel of to be closed Sherbrooke Street, for the sum of $610 per year plus HST if applicable. The town close off the entrance in the existing board fence to the parking lot Heritage Museum, which lies to the west of the properties at 274 and 284 George Street, and bear the cost of such. And the mayor clerk be authorized to sign all necessary documents for both the sale and encroachment agreement prepared in form and content satisfactory to the Director of Planning, Development, and Legislative Services.
Mover, Council Puget, second, Council Levine. All those in favor? Carried. Motion to adjourn. Council Milosz, Council Levine. All those in favor? Carried.